One of the candles burned out in a small puff of smoke, and the children sank down lower in their chairs. You probably know of a plant called the Venus flytrap, which grows in the tropics. The top of the plant is shaped like an open mouth, with tooth-like spines around the edges. When a fly, attracted by the smell of the flower, lands on the Venus flytrap, the mouth of the plant begins to close, trapping the fly. The terrified fly buzzes around the closed mouth of the plant, but there is nothing it can do, and the plant slowly, slowly dissolves the fly into nothing. As the darkness of the house closed in around them, the Baudelaire youngsters felt like the fly in this situation. It was as if the disastrous fire that took the lives of their parents had been the beginning of a trap, and they hadn't even known it. They buzzed from place to place, Count Olaf's house in the city, Uncle Monty's home in the country, and now Aunt Josephine's house overlooking the lake. But their own misfortune always closed around them, tighter and tighter, and it seemed to the three siblings that before too long they would dissolve away to nothing. "We could rip up the note," Klaus said finally. "Then Mr. Poe wouldn't know about Aunt Josephine's wishes, and we wouldn't end up with Captain Sham." "But I already told Mr. Poe that Aunt Josephine left a note," Violet said. "Well, we could do a forgery," Klaus said, using a word which here means write something yourself and pretend somebody else wrote it. "We'll write everything she wrote, but we'll leave out the part about Captain Sham."
"Aha!" Sunny shrieked.
This word was a favorite of Sunny's, and unlike most of her words, it needed no translation. What Sunny meant was, "Aha!" an expression of discovery.
"Of course," Violet cried. "That's what Captain Sham did. He wrote this letter, not Aunt Josephine."
Behind his glasses, Klaus's eyes lit up.
"That explains it's."
"That explains unbearable," Violet said.
"Leap!" Sunny shrieked, which probably meant, "Captain Sham threw Aunt Josephine out the window and then wrote this note to hide his crime."
"What a terrible thing to do," Klaus said, shuddering as he thought of Aunt Josephine falling into the lake she feared so much. "Imagine the terrible things he will do to us," Violet said, "if we don't expose his crime. I can't wait until Mr. Poe gets here so we can tell him what happened." With perfect timing, the doorbell rang and the Baudelaires hurried to answer it. Violet led her siblings down the hallway, looking wistfully at the radiator as she remembered how afraid of it Aunt Josephine was. Klaus followed closely behind, touching each doorknob gently in memory of Aunt Josephine's warnings about them shattering into pieces. And when they reached the door, Sunny looked mournfully at the welcome mat that Aunt Josephine thought could cause someone to break their neck. Aunt Josephine had been so careful to avoid anything that she thought might harm her, but harm had still come her way. Violet opened the peeling white door, and there stood Mr. Poe in the gloomy light of dawn.
"Mr. Poe," Violet said. She intended to tell him immediately of their forgery theory, but as soon as she saw him, standing in the doorway with a white handkerchief in one hand and a black briefcase in the other, her words stuck in her throat. Tears are curious things, for like earthquakes or puppet shows, they can occur at any time, without any warning, and without any good reason. "Mr. Poe," Violet said again, and without any warning, she and her siblings burst into tears. Violet cried, her shoulders shaking with sobs, and Klaus cried, the tears making his glasses slip down his nose, and Sunny cried, her open mouth revealing her four teeth. Mr. Poe put down his briefcase and put away his handkerchief. He was not very good at comforting people, but he put his arms around the children the best he could, and murmured, "There, there," which is a phrase some people murmur to comfort other people, despite the fact that it doesn't really mean anything. Mr. Poe couldn't think of anything else to say that might have comforted the Baudelaire orphans, but I wish now that I had the power to go back in time and speak to these three sobbing children. If I could, I could tell the Baudelaires that, like earthquakes and puppet shows, their tears were occurring not only without warning, but without good reason. The youngsters were crying, of course, because they thought Aunt Josephine was dead, and I wish I had the power to go back and tell them that they were wrong. But of course, I cannot. I am not on top of the hill, overlooking Lake Lacrimose on that gloomy morning. I am sitting in my room, in the middle of the night, writing down this story and looking out my window at the graveyard behind my home. I cannot tell the Baudelaire orphans that they are wrong, but I can tell you, as the orphans cry in Mr. Poe's arms, that Aunt Josephine is not dead.
Not yet.